Good afternoon. Welcome to Line One, your health connection on KSK Anchorage. I'm your host, Prentice Pemberton. The Affordable Care Act has withstood a barrage of poor publicity and an onslaught of attacks from the current administration that seem aimed at creating confusion and doubt about the stability of the program. Officials with the Department of Health and Human Services report that the advertising budget for the open enrollment period that started in November would be cut to $10 million compared with the $100 million that was spent by the Obama administration last year, a drop of 90%. Despite all the obstacles and political fighting, the Affordable Care Act's open enrollment period began its fifth year on November 1st and will run for 6 weeks, ending December 15th. Joining me to discuss the ACA and how the open enrollment period is going in Alaska are Jesse Menkins from the Alaska Primary Care Association, the APCA, and enrollment navigator Sam Longacre from the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center. Welcome to Line One. I appreciate you both taking the time to join me today.
Thanks. It's good to be with you, Prentice.
Thank you.
Before we even get started on our topic, I do want to clarify again that your agency, the Anchorage Primary Care Association, is not Primary Care Associates, which is the physician organization, correct?
That's right. The Alaska Primary Care Association, APCA, is a membership organization that works with our community health center organizations that operate across the state of Alaska. These are our safety net providers who provide care for Alaskans across the state, and we offer primary care services within those health centers. But the Alaska Primary Care Association is a membership organization serving those health centers. At APCA, I oversee our Navigator program. And so with that, I work with assisters and navigators across the state that facilitate one-on-one support in relation to the ACA marketplace. And I work as a spokesperson on issues related to the Affordable Care Act as well. And I'm very, very happy to have Sam here with us, who works at the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center, one of our subrecipient grantees.
All right, so you're with Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center, and you contract with them. How's that work for your services?
The Alaska Primary Care Association gives us money every year to kind of supplement the funds we already get to provide that work. So it really helps us be able to provide services to more people because I can have more staff. And this open enrollment period, that's really important because we have to get just as many people signed up in half the amount of time that we did last year.
With fewer navigators, correct? Or less resources?
About the same amount of resources, but it's definitely more resources than we could do without the Primary Care Association.
Okay, the reason I asked that question again, I started that out because I originally thought you worked for Alaska Primary Care Associates, right?
Yes.
The doctor's organization. And I got an email after the last, or a post on the show page saying that it's strange that a doctor's practice was running this sort of enrollment thing. Mm-hmm. And so I responded that it's not affiliated.
That's right.
So there is no affiliation. Okay, so Sam, what is your specific role as a navigator? What do you all do, like, on the ground day-to-day helping people?
So I'm a manager, and I oversee a team of navigators and what's called certified application counselors. Both of those names just kind of say that they've done training so that they're certified to help people on the online application. So we help patients. For us, primarily in our health center, whether their patients there or maybe their family members are patients or their friends, and we help people on site enroll on the computer and help them go through the application, think about their plan choices, and actually pick a plan.
So people can just kind of cold call you, or they go online? How do they get hooked up?
They can get there a couple different ways. For us, a lot of people are already patients at the health center, so someone can tell them we're on the third floor. Otherwise, their healthcare.gov has a find local help feature, and you can type in your zip code and everyone that can help you in Anchorage will pop up. The Alaska Primary Care Association has a number that's statewide, so if someone calls in and asks about Anchorage, they can get referred to us. And also any way that they've heard that we can help, a lot of word of mouth kind of spreads it through the community. People that work in the same location or they have family members all end up showing up.
All right. On today's program, we did a show with Jesse and was it John?
Yes, John Zazada.
A couple of weeks ago on sort of promoting the open enrollment period. And we wanted to do a follow-up after the first, I guess it's been 5 days now, it opened on the first. So how do you tell how you're doing? Are there any numbers early on? Are we getting lots of activity? Are people confused about whether it's even open or not? What's the status here locally?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. So there's a lot of ways that we can monitor how things are going. First and foremost, we can report that the website itself is operating smoothly. We're receiving calls on our helpline that Sam mentioned. This is a toll-free line, which is a really good way to gauge the interest of the population in terms of if they're calling and what the responsive rate is on that. And that line is 1-844-PLANS-AK. We also are seeing through our online reporting that we do internally a good showing of appointment schedules since November 1st started. And this is data that we receive from our navigators that are operating across the state, serving in the interior region, the Kenai Peninsula region, here in South Central with Sam and her team, and also in the Mat-Su region. I would say that we're off to a good start. There's busier areas within our state, and I think South Central certainly is one of those areas where we're seeing heavier foot traffic. However, we also know that this is a big surprise still for many Alaskans. We don't have the same level of marketing and awareness that we've had in our state in the past. You mentioned cuts to the marketing budget. In the past, we had over $1 million worth of support flowing into our state through federal government and other means to raise awareness about the dates of open enrollment and how to find free local help. Again, the dates of this year's open enrollment period is November 1st through December 15th, and we're doing everything we can to get the word out.
Okay, today's program being a follow-up, we're particularly open and hoping to get some caller questions or comments about the ACA enrollment process or the healthcare situation in general. If you've engaged in the enrollment process and like to share your experience with that, don't hesitate to call in. Both Jesse and Sam are kind of chomping at the bit to answer questions for people who've tried to do this. So, as always, we can be reached in three ways. Our local number is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. Or if you're outside of Anchorage, you can call us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. And the last way to reach us is to email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. You have to spell that out, L-I-N-E-O-N-E. @alaskapublic.org. In the first program, Jesse mentioned that there was a number of people in Alaska who are eligible. Do you remember what that number was? You guys mentioned.
So it depends on what you're looking at in terms of your data source, but there could easily be 70,000 individuals that might be willing, to get engaged if we're able to reach out to them that would be eligible to participate.
You said South Central's moving, I guess, words out. Things are going. Are the rural communities more difficult? And what's being done for outreach into rural Alaska?
Without a doubt, it is very challenging for us to be effective with reaching Alaskans in our rural communities. In the past, the Alaska Primary Care Association has facilitated a very robust Get Covered Alaska campaign that was funded through our Navigator program. Unfortunately, we received a very surprising large cut to our program. And in light of that reduction in funding, which was 25%, we had to make cuts to our marketing. And that translated to our ability to get the word out in rural Alaska. Thankfully, we have had some very strong support from community organizations here in our state. And we are proceeding with some outreach tactics. But really, more than ever this year, we are really asking for help from Alaskans. Word of mouth is very, very important in our communities. And we hope that listeners will be mindful of their friends and family and coworkers who might not be covered to let them know about this great opportunity.
Okay, I have this idea in my head that most folks who are listening to this radio show and this station have either already have health care coverage or, and maybe I'm assuming too much, or would have looked into this. And how do they get word out? I mean, you mentioned word of mouth, and that's sort of a grassroots movement to make this thing work. How should people go about doing that?
Mm-hmm. So some key pieces of information that we can share are that we have a website that has been created to support Alaskans. It's www.getcoveredalaska.org. You can certainly share that resource with others that you know that could use some support. We also have a helpline that is open to all Alaskans across the state. That number is 1-844-PLANS-AK. And that line is staffed by a certified navigator who can answer an individual's questions and then help link that individual up with a local assister, such as one of Sam's staff or someone else in this local area if you're in the South Central region. Or throughout our state, there are certified application counselors working within our community health centers, and their doors are open for this in-person assistance. There's also a lot of power through social media. Alaskans do engage heavily in Facebook and Twitter and other forms of digital media, and we would really encourage Alaskans to check out our Facebook page, Get Covered Alaska. Help us share those key messages. There's videos up that we've created to boost awareness here locally. There's a lot of timely information going through social media as well.
Okay, you mentioned, social media is important. Obviously, Facebook, you can't trust everything or most of the things you see on Facebook. But this is important. Now, you mentioned the ACA is alive and well. It is still in effect. It's still the law. What does the law say about, is the mandate still in effect?
Yes, the mandate is still in force at this point in time, which means that Americans are required to have coverage throughout the year. Of course, this is everyone's choice. And if an individual chooses not to participate in the marketplace and they do not have coverage, they can be susceptible to having to pay a tax penalty at the end of the year. That penalty is now $695 per person or 2.5% of one's income, whichever is greater.
$695 per person per household. So I could add up if you had five people.
That's right. It's half as much for children.
Why are people choosing not to participate?
The amount of federal assistance that you get to lower the premium cost depends on your household size and your income. So in general, people with higher incomes it doesn't look quite as appealing. So sometimes people choose not to enroll just based on what they're seeing as their options. But open enrollment's really important because this is the only time of year that everyone can go in, put their information in, and check out exactly what those plans look like. So just because it was too expensive for your friend doesn't mean that it's going to be too expensive for you. What the prices that people come up with are really unique to each individual or each household, because they're tied into your income. And it's really important that people at least go through the application and look at what their options are, instead of just shrug it off and ignore it until later.
Okay, prices. What can people expect to pay? It sounds like it's kind of like all over the board. Is there a formula? Is there something that people could think, I'm 40 non-smoker and I'll get this amount of health insurance for $400 a month?
It is really all over the board because, you know, are you 40 and married and have kids? And so what is that? Is that $40,000 supporting three people or one person or two people? And it does vary a bit by age. So it's really just best to put it in. You can assume that if your household earns more, you're going to pay more in premiums than someone that earns less. But it definitely just depends, and people need to punch in the numbers and at least look at it.
All right. So I went on. I'm fortunate that I have health care, and my wife handles that, and it's through work, and it's all taken care of. But I just kind of went online and typed in an ACA enrollment, and all these different websites came in. Pick your state. There was, I don't know, 20 of them that. Mm-hmm. Where do I start? Like, you just click on any random one?
You can just scroll down, and it'll take you scrolling down to find healthcare.gov. Healthcare.gov is the main website.
And that is on our website. I'm almost certain I have that as a resource. If not, I will add that. All right, so that's the legit place. What are all these other ones? Are they?
There's a lot of websites that will estimate your costs for you and calculate your subsidies and things like that. But you can also do that on healthcare.gov. If you put CSEE and then a hyphen plans after healthcare.gov, after the backslash, you can preview the plans without actually applying. So you can, just like you were saying, if you want to just punch in and get a quick idea, you could punch in, I'm single, I'm 35, and I think I'm going to make $40,000, and it'll give you estimates.
Okay, so healthcare.gov is the easiest sort of portal to,
that's right,
to enter.
It's the only portal to get the tax credits. So it's the only one where you can actually apply and enroll with federal subsidies.
Okay. We're going to go to the lines. We have Caroline. You're on line one. Go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon. I, like you, have insurance through being old, Medicare and secondary through retirement. The thing, I get a little bit confused on all this, but the bottom line that I thought of was, if somebody has emergency needs, they go to the emergency room at the hospital. Now, there are a lot of places now where hospitals aren't even close, you know, like 100 miles or so away. And that is a local expense, is it not, that's borne by the hospital and the community, as opposed to the national expense, which is certainly more likely. And haven't some hospitals started closing? So what are people going to do if, in fact, they choke off the money for this and guarantee its failure?
That's a great question. Complex. Mm-hmm. You want to take a stab at it, Jesse?
Yeah, thank you very much for your question, Caroline. And I think that your concerns are echoed by many in our state and across the country. What we know now is that this law, the Affordable Care Act, has become ingrained in our society, and it is now part of our health care delivery system. Here in our state, not only do we have individuals who rely solely on this source for their insurance. Also through the ACA, we have Medicaid expansion as a reality. And we have well over 35,000 individuals who rely on that conduit with which to see a doctor. And so it really is important that we do what we can to support this law and uphold it and to help Alaskans understand what their opportunities are, because this is truly the law of the land. And that's why Sam and I are here with you today, is to do our best to answer questions and to shed light on the opportunities tied to the marketplace here in Alaska.
Well, I think Alaska is fortunate because many of our villages, thanks to the indigenous folks here, there are little clinics, and they will help anybody that walks through the door, of course. And, you know, places in the lower 48, it doesn't have as great an impact on us as it does in a lot of places in the lower 48.
All right, Caroline, those are good points. The village health clinics, they have outreach, aid workers, assistants, navigators in place to help folks sign
up. Absolutely. And we partner with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium very closely. Listeners might recall that the very first year that open enrollment was a reality in our state, ANTHC was the grant holder for the statewide navigator program that we now facilitate at the Alaska Primary Care Association. There are resources in place within our tribal facilities across the state. There are tribal benefit specialists that are available to support individuals that come in through their doors. And then throughout this network that we help support, the Alaska Sisters Network, you know, we work together. So it is navigators, certified application counselors, in-person assisters, and tribal health benefit specialists that are working together to support our population.
Well, thank you for everything that you folks are doing, and thank you for this show.
Thanks, Caroline. Appreciate the call. So there's been a lot of talk about cost sharing and grants and assistance programs that Trump was tweeting, or the administration was, I guess, less than enthusiastic about continuing. And there was talk of rescinding those. And so I guess a lot of people are not thinking that those are available, but those are still in place. Alaska has some special things going on. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So you mentioned a couple of different factors. One is cuts to in-person assistance, and we talked about that a little bit ago. I'm pleased to state that given the budget cuts that we've endured, we have not had to eliminate hands-on support in our state. Rather than cut the number of navigators serving, we made other decisions on where to make reductions in our budget. So we have a full team in place to help Alaskans with their coverage needs. In regards to the CSR payments, cost sharing reductions, there was a decision made to not continue making payments for those to insurance companies. And so, in fact, that did happen. However, Alaskans are continuing to receive those CSRs through their plans if they qualify. This is for an individual that might earn up towards the 250th percentile of the federal poverty level. This is an extra savings that's available to Alaskans to help reduce their out-of-pocket expenditures. That is still happening because, by law, the insurance companies need to continue making those available to Alaskans. So those are still in place. And individuals that go online and shop at healthcare.gov, if they qualify, they will see the result of that extra savings. And I think that I addressed most of your questions there. You know, the subsidies are also still in place to reduce the cost for Alaskans. So if someone qualifies all the way up to the 400th percentile of the federal poverty level, and I know that's hard to kind of conceptualize, so
right.
it's easier to look and see, you know, that means $123,000 for a family of four. All the way up to about that level of income, a family could receive some support to offset the cost of their premiums each month. So there are still a lot of opportunities, even with the confusion and the uncertainty that we're all feeling right now. This is still a great opportunity for Alaskans to get covered.
Okay, Sam, how difficult is the technology? I mean, do you have to be a computer whiz to be able to navigate all this stuff? Could my grandmother do it? I'm sure my 7-year-old might be able to. Some of us we have some technological problems or challenges.
If you can use online applications in general, if you're fairly comfortable on the computer, it shouldn't be hard, the technology part. I think what trips more people up is the program itself and understanding how it's working and maybe some of the questions. So, for example, the application will ask you to estimate your 2018 income. So if your income's not very predictable and you start going through the application and then you hit that, that confuses some people enough to where they get wrapped up in that question and then it feels hard to apply. But the website itself is pretty straightforward. At the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center, we definitely help a lot of people that are not computer savvy, maybe don't have a computer, don't even have an email address, and that's what we're there for. So we help those people and also people that just get stuck in the middle somewhere.
Besides what you mentioned, what are things that people are getting stuck trying to decide? I can understand if you don't know how much money you're going to make, then what support and assistance do you qualify for, and where does that put you on the scale? But what are some other challenges that people are having that you are helping folks with?
Health insurance is really complicated, and so I think some people, even premium, deductible, and out-of-pocket maximum, we spend a lot of time teaching those to people when we have appointments, especially maybe people that have never had insurance or really people that have never had to use it. So just because you've had health insurance before doesn't mean that you necessarily know off the bat what happens to meet your deductible or what happens after you meet your deductible. So I think the health insurance terminology and the way that you're getting that federal subsidy can be complicated.
All right. Can you talk a little bit more about the income limits? You mentioned that was a good example, a family of four, 127, which seems like a lot of money. It is
123.
Yeah. But you got mortgage and, you know, like life expenses. But what is the poverty limit, and at what are the stages? Is it a graduated assistance program, where if you're, you know, like a sliding scale fee, or is it more, how does that work?
So the federal poverty level is a number that the federal government sets every year. So 100% of poverty level is what they decided the poverty line is. And it's different for how big your household is. And Alaska and Hawaii have higher poverty levels than the rest [S2] Right. [S1] Of the United States. So for one person, for example, the poverty level in Alaska is $15,060 this time. Someone that qualifies for Medicaid is making, if it's one person, $20,783 or less. And then it'll go, if you make too much money for Medicaid, you're looking at the marketplace, if that's your only other way to get coverage. So above that limit or above that number, you're receiving a federal subsidy based on kind of a complicated calculation that involves your poverty level. We usually think of it as a percentage, and also how much the plans actually cost. So it's kind of the scaled thing of how much is the plan going to cost, where are you with your income and your household size, and then you get a subsidized amount for that monthly premium.
Okay. Sounds like complicated math.
We don't have to do the math. That's great. The website will do it for you.
All right. Let's see. We're coming up on the halfway point in our show, so I think we're going to go ahead and take a short break. If you have a question about anything related to the Affordable Care Act or a comment about today's topic, please don't hesitate to call in or email. Our local phone number is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. You can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. And the last way to reach us is to email your questions or comments to line1@alaskapublic.org. After this short break, we'll return to our conversation about the ACA and are open for caller questions and comments. I'm Prentice Pemberton.
You're listening to Line 1 from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Line 1 on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Line 1, your health connection on KSKA Anchorage. I'm your co-host, Prentice Pemberton. If you're just tuning into the program today, my guests are Jesse Minkins from the Alaska Primary Care Association and enrollment navigator Sam Longacre from Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center. Today, we are discussing the Affordable Care Act's six-week open enrollment period, which began November 1st and runs through December 15th. Jesse and Sam are also here today to answer any questions you might have about the open enrollment process, or if you want to share any experiences you've had in your own enrollment, would be interesting to hear how that was for you. All right, so I guess, Sam, this is a question for you. How long does, like, if somebody's going to sit down in the evening, do they need 14 hours carved out to go through this? Or is it, I mean, how long does this process take?
So if you have a pretty good idea of your income and you're feeling pretty confident, it could take an hour. If you have a really large family, you're going to have to type more names and enter more income information in. So it might take longer than that, maybe an hour and a half. If you get stuck, maybe 2 hours. I'm also going to throw out there, though, that time is going to skyrocket those last couple days of open enrollment. So definitely apply early. If you wait till the last 4, 3, 2, 1 days, you could have a long time with the website, or if you have to call for help with a call center.
That's when you could be on hold for 3 hours listening to elevator music. So earlier the better. That's what we're saying. Like, get on this today, tomorrow. Like, don't wait until the 13th.
Definitely do it as early as you can. Start the process. If you get stuck, then you have lots of time to figure out how to finish it. You can also change plans all the way up until December 15th. So if you pick a choice today and then a couple of days later you go, oh man, what was I thinking? You still have time to change your mind until December 15th.
Mm-hmm. And then in regards to re-enrollment, it's really important for Alaskans to be mindful if you currently have a plan now on the marketplace. It's really important that you go back into your profile, you update your information as needed, and make a plan selection. Because once December 15th happens, you won't have the ability to go back in and change a plan. And if you aren't actively selecting your plan option, you will be automatically re-enrolled. And that re-enrollment date is December 15th this year. So again, if you have a plan on the marketplace and you want to shop around, don't wait. Get online now and start looking at what your opportunities are this year.
If you have a plan on the marketplace and you're happy with it, do you need to log in and update information and do all that? Or will it carry over automatically with the same plan, same features, or you get defaulted to the, I don't know, iron plan?
The plans change a little bit every year, and you definitely don't want to be surprised by whatever automatic enrollment would do. And sometimes it's basing automatic enrollment will just take the available income that they have through the last time you filed taxes or something similar, which is not necessarily going to be accurate for your 2018 estimate. And if that happens, you don't have a way to fix it after December 15th.
So if you don't go in and check it, you might get stuck with something different that you might not be happy with.
Yes.
It might change.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and go back to the phones. Chris, you're on line one. You have a question. Go ahead.
Yes. My son has autism, and he is now our guardian, in addition to being our son. And we're obligated to do whatever it takes to take care of him. My private federal insurance now covers ABA, Applied Behavioral Analysis. My husband's state of Alaska insurance does not. I know in the state of Alaska there is a state law saying that private insurances have to cover ABA. Does the marketplace cover ABA?
So you can't sign up for a plan in the marketplace, or rather you don't qualify for the financial assistance if you can get a plan through your employer most of the time. Based on the two insurances you named, I would guess that you probably don't qualify for financial assistance through the marketplace.
He is disabled and has SSI and State of Alaska Adult Public Assistance, and he is under our insurance because he's not yet 26. So he doesn't have insurance by employment, but I'm not worried about the supplement. I want to know if it would be worthwhile to us to use some of this SSI APA money to take out a secondary insurance to help pay what's not paid under mine.
I think that really depends on what your income situation looks like, because without a subsidy, that plan for someone that's under 26 full price could be $500, $600, $700, $800 a month.
Mm-hmm. Chris, and it sounds like given the complexity of your circumstances, you know, if you're curious and you want to explore this, I would highly encourage you to, you can set up an appointment and be able to have a one-on-one conversation with an assister to kind of dive into some of these nuances and see, one, as Sam pointed out, if you can qualify, and if so, what those costs might look like.
Okay.
Yeah. And so for you and for other listeners that are interested in finding out how to connect with your local assister, you can feel free to give us a call at 1-844-752-6725, or you're welcome to log on to www.getcoveredalaska.org.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you, Chris.
All right. That triggered a question for me, because it kind of sounded like, and maybe I didn't understand it correctly, but it kind of sounded like she was asking, could she get an additional insurance policy through the marketplace on top of her employer or her husband's, mm-hmm. their insurance policies? Is that even an option?
Technically, she can buy one, but it would be the same as her buying a full price plan directly through Primera. Because if someone has, or really if they are able to get coverage through an employer, whether that's their spouse, or in this case, the child can get the coverage through their parents, they don't qualify for any financial assistance through healthcare.gov. So they can still sign up for a plan, but they're going to be paying full price for that plan.
Okay, that gets complicated when you have children or people with complex family medical problems. The insurance companies, I mean, the part of this whole process for the ACA is to cover pre-existing conditions, and that is still in place. Mm-hmm. And that's part of why it's so important for everybody to participate in the ACA. Can you talk a little bit about the model of the ACA and why full participation is important for the success?
Mm-hmm. Very central to the Affordable Care Act is the creation of what we call marketplaces. Here in the state of Alaska, we have a federally facilitated marketplace. This is a pool of individuals coming together and shopping for insurance. And within this pool, the larger it is, the more that the risk of the individuals and their health experiences is spread out. And when we have a small pool of individuals who have a lot of health needs, we're going to be seeing higher costs for their insurance. If we have a larger pool and we have a variety of different individuals with different health needs, and we have younger, healthier Alaskans participating, overall, we will see insurance rates going down for our population. And I think it's important to also note that this year, we are pleased that we are actually seeing a reduction in rates. And we haven't been able to say that before. We're seeing, on the whole, overall, and it depends on your particular circumstances, but you might be seeing, you know, over 20% reduction in rates within the plans offered. And that is a result of the Alaska Reinsurance Program, which was instituted last year, and then the 1332 waiver that was approved, which actually sustains that program. This is a unique, innovative approach taken by the state of Alaska to provide some relief from the year-over-year rate increases that we have endured. And we are now seeing that costs are going down, which is great. What we need to see moving forward is a greater level of participation in this program. And the more folks that we have participating will translate into increased rate reductions for our people.
Right, because if you have 10,000 people sign up with really complex medical needs and you have 12 people that are healthy and young, then it gets really expensive for those 12 people. It's a shared cost.
That's right.
Sort of approach. And going back to Caroline's call earlier, the preventative care piece in the health care measures. I mean, people are looking at catastrophic plans. They're crossing their fingers. They're hoping to save some money and hope that they don't get a spinal cord injury or broken femur. There's a lot of risk to going without health insurance.
Yes. You know, it can be devastating for our families. It can and will bankrupt families. If you have an episode where you need a tremendous amount of medical care, we have huge costs for our services in our state. And without insurance, our families are at grave risk without that level of support to reduce those costs.
It's looking at future savings and expenditures now. And that's kind of, it sounds like the approach that they're taking. But the goal of the ACA is to cover everybody.
Absolutely.
Right? Universal health care through a private marketplace. Am I allowed to say universal health care without getting in trouble?
You can say that.
Okay.
The goal is for everyone to have an opportunity to take care of their health. And it was always known, and certainly we understand it, that the Affordable Care Act was an excellent first step at providing an avenue for Americans who had no other means to get covered, who did not have the ability to get covered through employer insurance. Because let's face it, not all employers offer coverage to their employees. And given that huge need, we've made a lot of progress over the years, and we certainly have a lot more work to do here in Alaska.
This is the fifth year of the program, and Do you have the numbers handy? I know this wasn't part of our prep work, but the numbers handy on how many people have been covered who would not have had health care?
So at its peak here in Alaska, we had 23,000 Alaskans covered through the marketplace. We've seen that number come down quite significantly, and it's attributed to a variety of different factors. We saw the wonderful entry of Medicaid expansion in our state, and with that, the portion of our pool who were the lowest income shifted to become eligible for Medicaid. And so we did lose some lives covered within our group, but however, they were covered through new means, which is fantastic. We also saw some dropout in relation to market uncertainty in the past. Some listeners might recall when we had MOTA participating and then they exited the marketplace. And then there has been some confusion, certainly within the last year, towards the tail end of last year's open enrollment period and over this last year, around is the law still operating? Is this still an opportunity for my family or not? Is the individual mandate really in force? I mean, some of these conversations that are being had in Washington and a lot of the news and the headlines are coming certainly across into our state, and there's a lot of uncertainty and confusion. The fact is this still is a viable opportunity for Alaskans, and we need to do our best to cut through that noise and let people know truly what the facts are and what their opportunities are.
Signing up for 2018, is there a possibility that it gets taken away in the middle of 2018? Could they repeal this whole thing and shut it down? Or if you sign up for your health care coverage for 2018, are you going to keep it?
So for 2018, nothing should change. You sign up, it'll be there. 2018, it's kind of past the point of being able to change it. And I think that's an important point, though, that bills will come forward and people will have discussions, but it takes a while for both sides of Congress to put the bill back and forth, to have the bill actually get passed, and then for that law to actually go be enacted. So just because they pass a new, if they pass a new law, doesn't mean that that changes anything, maybe even for a year or two or three. So I think it's important for people to understand that 2018, nothing will change if you, in terms of the regulations, if you sign up now for 2018 coverage, you can be guaranteed that you've signed an agreement with that insurance company and you have coverage as long as you keep up with your payments until the end of 2018. And the other thing, we run into a lot of those questions at the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center, and particularly before this new year, before 2017 even started, people were asking questions. And when bills are up in the air, it's, well, what happens? And we kind of come to the same conclusion of, I can't tell you what's going to happen, but I'll be here. So you can always call an assister or show up back to where you signed up and say, hey, what's the latest with all of this policy change?
You know, and Sam's good to highlight that sense of urgency and people reaching out to their sisters. It's happening across the state. And our role is to help understand truly what is going on and deciphering conjecture and speculation between, you know, the reality. And so if people are confused or they're worried about the status of their insurance, they have a trusted resource with assisters in our state.
Who know what's going on?
That's
They're
right.
up on the latest news.
Yes, that's our job.
Okay, it sounds like, bottom line is, people should move forward as if all this noise has not happened. Really, nothing's changed with the ACA. It's still a mandate. Still got to sign up. Still the law. Good opportunity to get health care coverage. Go in, check it out.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And certainly I need to acknowledge, you know, the most recent news that we're hearing today and yesterday in relation to the potential of there being a change within the individual mandate. Right now in Washington, there's conversations about maybe taking away the mandate within relation of the tax bill that's being deliberated. We've also heard that there might be, through an executive order, a way to lessen the enforcement of the individual mandate. None of these conversations should dissuade Alaskans here and now from seeking out their options on healthcare.gov. There's going to be ongoing conversations like this, and we can anticipate that they're going to continue for many, many months ahead. However, right now, there's a key opportunity for Alaskans to enroll. That opportunity ends on December 15th, so don't wait. And if you have questions, we are here to help, and we can certainly help you with your enrollment process.
Okay, if you're just tuning in, my guests today are Jesse Minkins from the Alaska Primary Care Association and enrollment navigator Sam Longacre from the Anchorage Community or Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center. I keep doing that. If you have a question or a comment for my guests, you got, maybe five more minutes to call in. Or get an email in. Our local phone number is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. You can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752 or email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. All right, so all the stuff that's been going on politically, the administration, the efforts to shorten the enrollment period, cut it in half, cut the funding. Maybe, I don't know if you can answer this, but it seems designed to create uncertainty and distrust and confusion.
All of these activities have certainly led to a great deal of confusion. And it's rather unfortunate that we have these pressures here and now at this key time of opportunity for our people. But that is the reality of what we are having to contend with. And what our job is right now is to, again, you know, help decipher what is truly happening on the ground and what our opportunities are here and now for 2018 through healthcare.gov. The Affordable Care Act is still the law of the land, and marketplaces are operating and doing a fine job of providing opportunities for Alaskans. There are great ways for Alaskans to save on cost. You might qualify for cost-sharing reduction. You certainly might qualify for subsidy support. And then for those families who unfortunately might not have the ability to have that level of support to reduce the cost of their plans, they might be rather surprised going back online this year. Given the reduction in plan costs this year, they might find that there is actually a plan that they can buy into to support themselves and their families.
So just because you were on last year and you got something that you couldn't handle doesn't mean you shouldn't go on and explore again and take a look at what options are available. Sam, what are the, is it a menu of plans when you go? I haven't been on the, you know, through in to look at the different plans, but how does that work? Do you have 40,000 plans to choose from or four?
We have five.
That seems simple.
In Alaska, we have five plans to choose from this year. They're similar to last year, but there are some differences. So it's definitely important that people look at them again. But there's five of them. So it doesn't take too much to look at all five.
What are the different levels? Do they go from, you know, really great, high-quality healthcare with dental and mental health to those catastrophic plans? Is there that kind of window, or is it?
So all the plans on healthcare.gov, even in other states, are categorized into bronze, silver, and gold. Some states also have a platinum. So there are two bronze plans, two silver plans, and one gold plan available through the marketplace. So the bronze plans are lower cost for premium for your monthly cost, but they have higher deductibles. In the silver plans, you pay a little bit more and your deductible goes down. And silver is also where you can get those cost sharing reductions. If you qualify for them, you get extra help and your deductible and your out-of-pocket maximum are extra low. The gold plan costs a lot more every month, but the deductible is lower than, say, the bronze plans.
So if I'm hearing you right, you could get a silver plan for a comparable price to a bronze plan, perhaps because of the additional support?
No. The monthly cost will be higher, but the deductible will be a lot lower. So your out-of-pocket expenses during the year, if you have medical bills, will be lower than they would be if you had a bronze plan. So it really depends on what someone's level of medical need is. So usually when we meet with someone in an appointment, we'll talk through their medical needs. And a lot of times a silver plan is going to save them the most money by the end of the year.
Okay, now there was a lot of talk about eliminating mental health coverage. And that's something that I think a lot about, obviously. And I know that Dr. Woodard finds also it really important and links physical health and emotional wellness very strongly. So is there any conversation about eliminating that benefit, or is that an option in all the plans, or can you select that as an add-on?
So we agree that our mental health services are really, really important to, you know, whole body, holistic care, taking care of an entire person. And that is part of what we call essential health benefits. And so to even have a plan available on the marketplace, it has to pass muster and have mental health services as part of that plan, along with a variety of other services. And it's important to make note of them, you know, ambulatory patient services, emergency services, hospitalization, maternity and newborn care, prescriptive drug coverage, rehabilitative services, lab services, preventative and wellness care, pediatric services. And these are all part of plans on healthcare.gov. And to your point, for mental health services, especially in our state right now, and with what we're seeing with an opioid epidemic and what we're seeing with alcohol and drug abuse in our communities, we need to make sure that Alaskans who are seeking out treatment have an avenue to be able to afford that coverage. And whether it be through Medicaid, Medicaid expansion, through a plan on healthcare.gov, we need to take every step possible to ensure that Alaskans have the support they need so that they can live a healthy life.
Okay, we got just over a minute left. So ending comments, thoughts, things you want people to take home with them?
Definitely start early. If you're renewing a plan, get in there, make sure you can figure out your password and get that ball rolling. If you get stuck, there are definitely people all over the state that can help you out.
Okay.
And I certainly wanted to shout out to all Alaskans that, as you can tell, you know, with Sam here talking about her expertise and experience working with Alaskans, we have a vital workforce in place. We have a group of experts that are ready and waiting to help you with your coverage questions. Open enrollment ends December 15th. If you want to learn more, I'd urge you to go to www.getcoveredalaska.org, or you can call us at 1-844-752-6725. It's time to get covered, and we're here to help.
All right. Thank you both. I appreciate you taking the time to join me today.
Thank you, Prentice.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, please check out the variety of links and information we have made available about today's topic on our show page. If you missed today's program, you can catch the rebroadcast of Line 1 tonight at 8 o'clock. It's also available on podcast, or you can play it through any personal device by going to alaskapublic.org, clicking on the radio tab, and scrolling down to line one. At what age should a child stop wetting the bed? How old should we expect them to be before they stop having accidents? Next week, Dr. Woodard will be joined by pediatric urologist Dr. Laura Merriman for a discussion about pediatric bedwetting and incontinence. That's next Monday, November 13th at 2 o'clock on FM 91.1 Alaska Public Media. Eric Bork handled the web editing for today's program, and Dave Waldron was our audio engineer. I'm Prentice Pemberton. Have a great day.
Line 1 is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Line 1 and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.